This is podcast number 37 for the Well-Educated Mother's Heart. I'm Marlene Peterson, and today I'd like to introduce you to the story of Liberty. I have a lot of things on my plate this month, and I thought I was going to have to take a break from podcasts, but I think I have a workable solution. This month, month six, we're talking about a new nation and a new government, but the underlying lesson is that of freedom. We can teach our children the mechanics of our government and learn the Constitution in detail, but if they don't have an appreciation and love for freedom, none of that will matter. And I think one of the best ways to instill that love in them is to show them, through story, what life looked like without freedom. I came across an old book written in 1879 by Charles Carleton Coffin called The Story of Liberty, and I couldn't put it down. First, let me tell you about the author. You may like the fact that he was mostly homeschooled by his parents. He was a self-educated learner. He learned to use his power of observation so well that he became the primary war correspondent for the Civil War. He was the only correspondent to follow it from beginning to end and was present at nearly every major battle. It was his 2.5-hour ride on horseback for 28 miles through torrential rain in the middle of the night to access a telegraph that broke the story of the Battle of Gettysburg. When he wrote his story of liberty, he did it so that we, quote, will comprehend what liberty has cost and what it is worth, close quote. The story unfolds as though he is an eyewitness to what is taking place. He speaks as though in the present, as he takes us through the 500 years before freedom finally finds a home. This is not just a story for Americans. It's for all freedom-loving people, and people of many nations have been players in its story. This is not a story for your young children. There are unspeakable cruelties and tortures that tear at our hearts. I leave it to you as to your judgment of when your children are old enough to listen. Keep in mind, Coffin didn't always get the details straight. He didn't have the internet to fact-check details. He said Raleigh landed in the Carolinas, which he never did. Yet the adventurous spirit of Raleigh is correct. So don't let the details hang you up. You can always correct them as you go along. And if you think he's harsh on the Catholics, hold on. Protestants weren't blameless. History is messy, but there's a melody that runs through this narrative. The story of the author of our liberty, a divine hand directing a counterplan. As we are taught in Galatians, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. It was the inspiration of the martyrs before that caused men like Daniel Webster to proclaim, "We may die colonists, die slaves, die, it may be on the scaffold, be it so, if it be the pleasure of heaven that my country shall require the poor offering of my life, the victim shall be ready at the appointed hour of sacrifice, come when that hour may. But while I do live, let me have a country, or at least the hope of a country, that is a free country. All that I have, and all that I am, and all that I hope in this life, I am now ready here to stake upon it. Independence now, and independence forever." So if you're ready to take on this sometimes heart-wrenching journey with me each day for the next 31 days, I'll be reading one chapter a day for the next month and delivering it in your podcast feed. Before I close for today, here is Coffin's introduction, a letter written to the boys and girls of America, but it applies to all freedom-loving people everywhere. The Story of Liberty, Introduction. To the Boys and Girls of America. This story of liberty is a true narrative. It covers a period of 500 years and is an outline of the march of the human race from slavery to freedom. There are some points in this book to which I desire to direct your attention. You will notice that the events which have given direction to the course of history have not always been great battles, for very few of the many conflicts of arms have had any determining force. But it will be seen that insignificant events have been not unfrequently followed by momentous results. You will see that everything of the present, be it good or bad, may be traced to something in the past, that history is a chain of events. You will also notice that history is like a drama and that there are but few principal actors. How few there have been. The first to appear in this story is King John of England. Out of his signing his name to the Magna Carta have come the Parliament of Great Britain and the Congress of the United States and representative governments everywhere. The next actors were John Wycliffe and Geoffrey Chaucer, who sowed seed that is now ripening in individual liberty. Then came Henry VII, Henry VIII, Catherine of Aragon, Anne Boleyn, Catherine's daughter, Mary Tudor, Cardinal Wolsey, Archbishop Cranmer, Anne Boleyn's daughter Elizabeth, King James, John Smith, John Robinson, William Brewster, and the men and women of Austerfield and Scrooby. In Scotland were Mary Stuart and George Buchanan. In Bohemia, Professor Falfasch and John Huss. In Germany, the boy who sung for his breakfast, Martin Luther. Duke Frederick, John Tetzel, and John Gutenberg. In Holland, Lawrence Coster, Dr. Erasmus, and William the Silent. In France, Francis I, Catherine de' Medici, the Duke of Guise, Charles IX, and Henry IV. In Spain, Thomas de Torquemada, Isabella, Ferdinand, Christopher Columbus, Charles V, Philip II, and Loyola. In Italy, Alexander VI and Leo X. These have taken great parts in the drama. Actively or passively, they have been the central figures. One other thing. You will notice that the one question greater than all others has been in regard to the right of men to think for themselves, especially in matters pertaining to religion. Popes, archbishops, cardinals, bishops, and priests have disputed the right to secure which hundreds of thousands of men and women have yielded their lives. You will also take special notice that nothing is said against religion, nothing against the Pope because he is Pope, nothing against a Catholic because he is a Catholic, nor against a Protestant because he protests against the authority of the Church of Rome. Facts of history only are given. Catholics and Protestants alike have persecuted, robbed, plundered, maltreated, imprisoned, and burned men and women for not believing as they believed. Through ignorance, superstition, intolerance, and bigotry, through thinking that they alone were right and that those who differed with them were wrong, forgetting that might never makes right, honestly thinking that they were doing God's service in rooting out heretics, they filled the world with woe. There is still another point to be noticed, that the successes of those who have struggled to keep men in slavery have often proved to be in reality failures, while the defeats of those who were fighting for freedom have often been victories. Emperors, kings, cardinals, priests, and popes have had their own way, and yet their plans have failed in the end. They plucked golden fruit, which changed to apples of Sodom. Mary Tudor resolutely set herself to root out all heretics, and yet there were more heretics in England on the day of her death than when she ascended the throne. Charles V and Philip II grasped at universal dominion, but their strength became weakness, their achievements failures. On the other hand, see what has come from disaster. How bitter to John Robinson, William Brewster, and the poor people of Scrooby and Austerfield to be driven from home, to be exiles. But out of that bitterness has come the Republic of the Western World. Who won? King James? Or John Robinson and William Brewster? There is still one other point. You will notice that while the oppressors have carried out their plans and had things their own ways, there were other forces silently at work, which in time undermined their plans, as if a divine hand were directing the counterplan. Whoever peruses the story of liberty without recognizing this feature will fail of fully comprehending the meaning of history. There must be a meaning to history, or else existence is an incomprehensible enigma. Some men assert that the marvelous events of history are only a series of coincidences. But was it by chance that the great uprising in Germany once lay enfolded, as it were, in the beckoning hand of Ursula Cotta? How happened it that behind the passion of Henry VIII for Anne Boleyn should be the separation of England from the Church of Rome, and all the mighty results to civilization and Christianity that came from that event? How came it to be that, when the world was ready for it, and not before, George Buchanan should teach the doctrine that the people were the only legitimate source of power? Men act freely in laying and executing their plans, but behind the turmoil and conflict of human wills, there is an unseen power that shapes destiny. Nations rise and fall, generations come and go, yet through the ages there has been an advancement of justice, truth, right, and liberty. To what end? Is it not the march of the human race toward an Eden of rest and peace? If, while reading this story, you are roused to indignation or pained at the recital of wrong and outrage, remember that out of endurance and sacrifice has come all that you hold most dear, so you will comprehend what liberty has cost and what it is worth. Charles Carleton Coffin.